The views and opinions expressed by hosts and guests on Patriots with Grit do not necessarily reflect those of Patriots with Grit LLC, its founders, and owners.
Get ready for truth bombs and guidance from conservative leaders and entrepreneurs, from God-fearing, freedom-loving, truth-telling, patriotic Americans. Welcome to Patriots with Grit. Now let's jump into today's episode with your host, Darren Ross.
Well, it seems like everywhere we go today, we look around and we see kids buried with their heads in screens or on video games, Randy.
And the whole time they're doing that, we're allowing other influences to raise our children.
So our guest today is going to come on and talk about how to get your kids off the screen time and back engaged with life. Here we go.
If you don't know by now, major cell phone carriers are monitoring your conversations and your text. They're even terminating service if they don't like what you say. Americans have had enough supporting these companies that hate our values. Are you tired of compromise? It's time to switch to Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless provider.
Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you access to all three major networks, which means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left or the leftist agenda.
When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, the sanctity of life, and our military, veterans, and first responder heroes.
One of the best parts about using Patriot Mobile is they have 100% of their customer service team based right here in the USA, which makes switching absolutely a breeze. You can keep your number, you can keep your phone, or you can even upgrade. Plus, their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just go to patriotmobile.com/grit or call 972-PATRIOT. Also, you get free activation when you use the offer code of GRIT. Join us and make the switch today.
Hey, get off.
Hang on, Randy. I'm busy. I'm looking at something on my phone.
Get
here.
Off the phone.
Okay.
You're worse than my kids.
One more thing. Well, speaking of kids, you know, if you look around, everybody sees everybody walking around in a daze on their cell phone, Randy. My wife and I talk about this a lot. We failed as parents. We have three kids, and each one of our kids, the oldest one got a cell phone in sixth grade, the next one fourth grade, the next one was either second or third grade. And the amount of time that those kids spent on those phones, we look back and we're like, we were absolute failures. What about you?
Did
you
fail? I mean, there's so many facets to what we're going to talk today about with Shannon. And, you know, I look at, and I hate to be the fuddy-duddy, ungroovy guy now, but I just noticed the other day at a basketball game, my son had his little two-year-old there, and to get him to shut up, they shove a phone in front of his face and let him look at cartoons. And now we have to look at what those cartoons actually have built into them. And we're going to talk today about a whole facet of different types of things that our kids are learning just because they don't go outside anymore.
So our guest today is an expert in, I would say, cell phone research for children. So we're going to bring on today Shannon Coulter from sscoulter.com. Shannon, thanks so much for joining us here at patriotswithgrit.com. We appreciate you joining us. Talk to us a little bit about your background, what you're doing to kind of get kids off the cell phone train and to get engaged back in society again.
Yes. Well, first off, Darren and Randy, thank you for having me. It's such a blessing to, even though you were terrible parents, you are a very good host.
Well, Randy and I aren't parents together. I just want to clear that up. I have a wife, you know, so Randy and
we're not parents.
Yeah, we're not parents. We're not co-parenting together here. So I just want to clear that up for our audience. You know, we wouldn't want to give out mis or disinformation.
And the good thing is my kids are old enough. CPS can't come get them.
That's right. They are. So, and mine are too now. So anyway, didn't mean to interrupt you, but I just want to clarify that we have kids, but not together.
Not together. So my background. So what we're going to talk about today is my line of books is called The Fossa Tales. And it's a line of books that I wrote quite a while back, but I want to kind of tell you guys why I wrote them. Back when I started work, I was a consultant and I worked in all these different companies, and I went into the companies and I consulted when employees were when the employees were the audience. So basically, if you had to sign up for a medical plan, you know, when you have to sign up for your HMO and PPO, I was one of the people behind that telling you how to do it and what it meant. So I did a bunch of stuff like that. And it was really interesting because I learned how to talk to different groups of people. And how they communicate. And we were kind of joking before the show, I knew how to talk to the different genders, which has become a little more difficult, right? Just kidding. There's still only two. But toward the end of my career in corporate America, I started doing wellness programs. And so what those were health incentive programs. And what they were helping people lose weight, stop smoking, all these kinds of things. And although I enjoyed the other stuff I was doing because I love communicating and figuring out what makes people tick, this was really awesome because I got to interview people who made substantial changes in their lives for the good. And I just was so joyful in that. So at the same time that was happening, I met the love of my life, my husband, Lee, and he came with three children. So I got shoved right into parenting. And I do like to say that we dated for a year and a half before we before I met the kids, so we'd make sure we were good. And it was a really good thing of him because then I couldn't live out without him. And then all of a sudden there were three kids. So good job, honey.
And we just did that with a cat today to get rid of one of our adopted cats. So it works out fine.
It works out fine. So I'm thrust into this parenting. And I say to my stepkids, and I told them, because this is what I was used to, I said, go out and play. So at the time, they called me Miss Shannon. And they were outside for 5 minutes, you guys. And they came back in and they said, Miss Shannon, we don't know what to do. And I was floored. Okay, so this is 2008. I was floored. I was actually really upset for them because I couldn't understand how kids, and they were 4, 8, and 10, wouldn't know how to play. That's essential to being a child. So it wasn't that I was blaming my husband and his ex-wife for it. You know, I was like, what's wrong with your kids? Because I did research for this kind of stuff, I went and kind of looked at the state of kids at the time, and we were not alone. This was a thing that was really happening to kids everywhere because of screens. So I decided to leave corporate America, and with my husband, we started a wellness incentive company, a wellness company for children. And our whole purpose was to get kids interested in playing and being offline again. So what I did as part of that is I wrote the books we're going to talk about today. And the idea of the books was to get kids to love the characters. And the characters go through things in the book. Obviously, it's got to be an interesting story. And they tackle obstacles and they learn lessons. And then after each book, there's a group of activities where the kids repeat what the characters did. And they get to do all sorts of different things and they learn and they're playing, okay? And what I have found in my research, and I think you guys have found with your children, once you get a kid playing, they'll keep playing. Do you know what I mean? You just have to give them like a little spark and it ignites a fire because they want to play. It's what's inherent in you as a kid. So another problem that we were having is because kids weren't playing, they weren't developing an imagination. So they were coming to me like, Miss Shannon, we don't know what to do. And they're asking me what to do. Well, I'm an adult at this point. My imagination is only so big. And I'm sorry to say that, but you guys know it's true. I mean, how long are you guys online every day? It stinks, but it does. Doesn't it dull you a little bit when you're online versus when you're outside doing stuff?
Oh, yeah. I mean, especially when you work in front of it all day long, but it's the social media aspect too that kills you.
It kills you. So they were coming to us for ideas and I could only come up with so many things. So I kind of joked with my husband. We almost made it for ourselves as well because I didn't want to be the imagination station for my children. So with the books, and I'll show you guys later, we have a bunch of other activities that for the kids to do. So, and they're on my author site, they are organized by heart, mind, and body. So if you have kids that are kind of being jerks, you can give them heart activities. If you have kids who've been sedentary all day, you can give them body activities and stuff like that. So the idea was to help parents compete with technology because it's really hard because you guys know technology is addicting.
Oh, it's horrible.
It's really, really addicting.
Even for adults. So,
yeah, it's terrible. And it makes you feel bad about yourself. I don't care who you are.
And I don't want to jump too much in the adult side, but I thought about this. We get so many notifications on our phone. And if you're a teenager, I know this is probably not totally teenager stuff, but when you hear that ding or that notification sound, you'll kill yourself to get over and look at it.
It's like Pavlov's dog, man.
That's what I was going to say. So
it's a dopamine reaction. It's really, really addictive. Yeah.
What I want people to understand is the screen time was the best way of saying it because you've got TV, you've got the video games. You got your PlayStation. Then you got the kids that sit all day long and look at all their stuff on their Instagram.
Right.
Well, it's not just Instagram. There's like seven of them now.
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying there's so much that encapsulates a kid. They sit on the couch and do that.
And just switch from one to the other to the other to the other. You know, it's not like when we grew up, there was a couple stations on TV. This is like you can you can Netflix, you know what I mean? It's everywhere. So very difficult, and very difficult to compete with as the parents. You know what I mean? Because
Oh,
I just want to sit here. So when we started doing this, it wasn't quite the same as it is today. So think about how much stuff has changed since 2008, but it was bad enough then. And I'm just going to give you a snippet of our company. But what our idea was to get the kids interested in the characters. Okay. And then the kids would want to go online because we had a website and they could play with the characters a little bit, like avatars. And I don't know if you guys know this. I think Randy, you said you didn't, but back then there was Toontown and Club Penguin. And those are ultra sticky websites brought to you by Disney. And they're made to keep the kids like on the screen. They're called sticky websites, and very bad because it's addicting. It's like, you know, it's a video game for kids basically. So our idea was to get the kids playing with our characters on something like that, but then the screen would shut off and be like, too bad, you got to go do an activity, and it would send activities out. And then because we were worried about social networking, we had on the website a village. So mom and dad could invite grandma, aunt and uncle, babysitter into the village, and they would have complete control of who the kid was talking to. And when they finished an activity, the website would send it to the village, and someone like, we did it kind of for my husband because he was divorced. But when he, you know, when you call a kid and you're like, we'll do it. We'll play. I'm going to call you Randy, and you're my kid. Hi, Randy. How was school today?
It was all right.
What'd you do?
Oh, they made us write stuff.
Yeah. Or, ready? My favorite, nothing.
I was going to say nothing.
Well, I should have said nothing.
You are an interactive child. But the whole point is, I'll show you the guys' activities later, but the activities have a thing to talk about. So the village would get a thing to talk about, and then they could call and say, hey, Darren, I see that you did this today, and here's five questions I'm going to ask. And then the website would give them points. And then as they developed points, the village could put out prizes for them to get. Like grandma could say, if you get 100 body points, or if, you know, the little jerk kid that we were talking about before, if you get 100 heart points, I'll take you to get ice cream, you know, stuff like that. Unfortunately, we had some personal stuff. I'd say lawfare. I'm just going to put that out there because this is a Patriot show, but you guys all know what that means. Mm-hmm. We got into a horrible thing with the court system. And now I'm looking at it and be like, I know what all that's about. But we ended up having stuff with the kids, and things turned out great, but we had to stop the company back then because family was more important. And I got to be a full-time mom, so I'm okay with it. But back in 2020, then I had more time. I'm not sure what was going on in 2020 that gave me more time, but something did. You guys know what it could have been?
Oh, the largest con ever dropped on humanity?
No, there
that
you go.
That thing. Okay. So I revisited my books. So back when I first wrote the books, like I said, they were just an arm of this to get people into it. I didn't love them because I came out of corporate America. I came out of writing, you know, health incentive programs, and I don't know how to sign up for stocks. And then all of a sudden I'm writing children's books, right? I went from, and I didn't know what different. I was doing, and I wrote six of them in a year, and I just never liked them that much. So I spent the time and I rewrote them, and then I brought them back out beginning of the end of 2023. And I cannot believe, you know, Holy Spirit is funny. They are so needed for now, like way more than they were needed back then, but this is nuts. Because now when we started it, those sticky websites that I was talking about, I reread our business plan. They were, I don't want to say neutral, but they weren't something you were scared to have your kids on. Do you know what I mean? Like now you know, you could put Sesame Street on and there can be something on there that you don't want your kids to see. So we called them, they were screen babysitters, but the worst part about them was the screen. It wasn't the stuff coming through the screen. And now we've got that too. And
not to mention the other aspect of these kids getting on there, even some of the, I'm trying to think of that game, Fortnite.
Yes.
You're getting grown men playing against other kids and acting like a little boy and then wanting them to meet.
Right.
So they're interfacing through games.
So diligent. And one of the ways to get your kids off of that is to give them, you know, in my research on it, you have to give them distractions. You can't just tell them to get off of it. You have to have something for them to do. And what we're trying to do with our books, and then you know, this is the beginning, starting this over again with the site, is we're trying to give parents that imagine, you know, make them the imagination station for the kids. But I'm telling you, one of my favorite stories is, even though we had to stop the company back then, we did all these activities with our kids. And I'll never forget, you guys will love this, but we the two younger ones were outside, and we heard this screaming, this absolute screaming. And we were like, what's going on? And the middle one was running around chasing the little one with a water balloon. And just screaming. And so we ran out there and we're like, what is going on? They had convinced themselves that the water balloon was Jaws.
Oh my gosh. I can't think of anything.
Right? Do you remember how screwed up you could make yourself?
I know.
like, oh yeah. And then we left him out there. They stayed out there for hours. And then the middle child, Camille, came in and she goes, Miss Shannon, using your imagination is the coolest. And my husband and I were like, yes, yes, that's it.
And you know what? When you're on those phones, you have no imagination.
None.
That's zero. It. And it causes so many problems. Okay. So what I have up here are 12 benefits of play. And this is a pretty comprehensive list, but this is really interesting. And this is what really bothered me back when we started this, because first off, as we discussed, you guys know, it brings out such a joy. Childhood is playing. You guys know that. I'm sure when you think back of being a kid, you're not sitting there thinking about playing on, well, we didn't really have online, but you're not thinking about the TV shows you watch. You're thinking about what you did with other people. So the first two, brain development and creativity, absolutely huge. I love the third one. It's social skills. And so think about, so if you look at these, I'll read them real quick and then we can talk about it. It's collaborating with others, playing with others with a common goal, negotiating, learning to follow rules, thinking of others and seeing their perspectives, solving conflicts fairly and independently, asserting themselves, following another's lead, showing empathy and sympathy, and communicating effectively. So like, think about this scenario. So let's say you two are out playing kick the can and all of a sudden I come up, right? And you're like, oh, Shannon's here. You have to collaborate with me and we have to negotiate and kind of change the rules to get me into the game. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then let's say, you know, Randy has to go do something and little Jimmy comes up and then another person comes up. We have to keep ebbing and flowing. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And we have to solve conflicts, and that all comes with play. That's amazing. But we didn't realize that. We just got that because that's how we grew up. But our kids are missing that. It's huge. Other benefits are planning skills. So carrying out tasks logically and within a given time frame. You're going to do that. Even planning, if you draw a picture, you have to plan. If it's going to be your whole family, you have to figure out how to get mom, dad, and everybody else on there. Doesn't seem like that big of a deal, but that's a huge deal. Motor development, children need well-developed gross motor skills. That's the large muscles. So they're going to develop those while they're climbing and hanging. And then fine motor skills, which are the small muscles, building blocks, Legos, stuff like that. You need that to learn how to read and write. Who knew? And then problem solving. I love this, but when you're out playing, your problems are challenges. You're not going to stop playing because of something little. It's a challenge. You guys are going to figure it out. And that's a huge deal, especially for kids now. Like, you know, their problems, you guys know this, problems throw people completely off. Do you know what I mean? So,
well, there's no critical thinking, no critical thinking taught.
No, there's not at all. Everything, if there's a problem, people give up really easily. Well, when you're playing, you don't want to go inside. So it becomes a challenge and you solve it, right? Language development, because you're talking to everybody who's playing the game with you. Independence, love this one too. If your parents, if in your free time, instead of being on the computer, you go out and play, it leads to you having comfort with yourself. That's huge. So, you know, I'm totally fine sitting in silence. I don't know a lot of kids who are like that. But I'm okay with that because I was used to being by myself. I think that's a really big deal. And it also, we talked a little bit ago, but it's your imagination. You can sit there and be with yourself. Prayer, you know, that's a time to pray. So that's really a huge deal. So independence, visual perception. I just wrote this one. It's the brain's ability to interpret what it sees, which is crucial for reading, writing, and distinguishing words, patterns, and letters. So you can take that into auditory and spatial perception, same kind of thing. Interpreting what you hear, interpreting where you are in the world. And then healthy expression, a safe way to act out your emotions and learn to cope with them. So let's say that we're playing tag and Randy happens to be a lot faster than Darren and I, right? And we get really mad at him. We learn to deal with that, right? We don't, I mean, maybe we don't ask him to play every time, but do you guys know what I'm saying? You learn how to act out emotions.
Well, so you do the Tonya Harding thing and you crack me in the legs.
We might. We'll have to talk because now we have communication. So those are benefits of play. Isn't that crazy? But you wouldn't think about it, but that's what we got naturally. And that's what our kids are missing out on. So now I want to jump forward a little bit into effects of screen time. So I know you gentlemen looked up screen time for teenagers, I think.
Well, I looked before the show, Shannon, and this was a couple years ago, but 8 to 12 year olds spent an average of 4 hours, 44 minutes a day, and teens were at 7 hours, 22 minutes. So, I mean, you're talking about almost a full work day for teenagers. And you multiply that times 7 days a week, times 30 days a month. I mean, at the end of the year, look how many days these kids have been in front of a screen. It's
and you amazing. Wonder you wonder how that works when this is during a school day.
Yeah, I don't understand it.
Well, they're on them all the time at school. I have a kid in college, and you wouldn't believe how many times a week I get, you know, text messages or screenshots of most of it's nonsense that they're sending me because of all the crap that's going on in
the world,
academia and higher education now. But anyway, it's just I think the kids are losing out.
They are. Well, so that's really interesting. So I'll just talk real quick with the effects of screen time. This is from a December 2018 adolescent brain cognitive development study. So children who reported just 2 hours a day of screen time got lower scores on thinking and language tests. So just imagine seven. Right. And then MRI brain scans, this is terrible, are showing that kids with a lot of screen time have premature thinning of their cortex. And that's the outermost layer of your brain that processes different types of information from your senses. So that's really bad. And then this other one is from these two other three and four from a June 2023 article. So the age at which kids engage with media on a regular basis has fallen from 4 years old in 1970 to 4 months. So people are putting kids on the screen at 4 months old. So that's not good. And then it has raised the likelihood, this is very obvious, of children will become obese, experience behavioral problems, sleep irregularities, poor academic performance. So more and more studies coming out about this stuff. And then we get into the cultural stuff. So I just watched, I don't know, have you guys heard of the documentary, The War on Children by Robbie Starbuck?
I have not, but I'm going to write it down. I love documentaries. The War on Children by Robbie Starbuck.
Robbie Starbuck. I have it on the bottom of the screen there. It just came out this year. The reason I found it, Elon Musk actually pinned it to the top of Twitter for a week so you could watch it. But you can find it on YouTube. But it's really good. It's upsetting. It's one of those, you know, truth upsetting things, you know. But I pulled some of this stuff out of here. So they talked about the mere exposure effect. So it's a psychological phenomenon by which people tend to develop a preference for things or people that are more familiar to them than others. This is something that's really dangerous for our kids right now. It's how, I'm going to look down at my notes, but it's pressure and exposure. And it's how the media creates the reality we live in, because it starts normalizing the things that you're seeing. So you see something over and over again. The more you see something, the more you start to prefer it and like it. So it can take something that was crazy 5 years ago and make it totally normal right now. I'm sure you guys can think of some stuff that's constantly in our faces.
Well, what you're getting at too is what they see is what their personality develops.
That's the
reality.
Yep. That's the next thing. It's social contagions.
Okay.
So it's the spread of emotions or behaviors from one individual to another, sometimes without awareness. And this becomes really problematic when the contagions lead to self-injurious behaviors. We've got that with transgenderism. It's horrible. These kids are mutilating, you know, getting mutilated. But that's what they're seeing. It's constantly in their face. It's social engineering. But everywhere they go, and it's not just social media, you guys. It's, you know, the ads in the papers. You're walking through Target. It's just boom, boom, boom. You are getting hit with LGBTQ, drag queens, everything. And while I was watching this movie, they had kids on there that were in their teens in college and probably like 16, 17. And they're called digital natives. Have you ever heard of that expression?
Mm-mm.
Okay, so a digital native is our kid. They've never not had this. So they are the digital natives. So these kids have seen how much this has screwed them up, how much it's screwed their friends up. And every single one of them said they would not allow their kids to have social media until 16. And most of them said 18. So that's coming from the one.
That's kind of like the movie, the documentary, The Social Dilemma. They had, I don't know if you've seen that, Shannon, or not, but we watched it, The Social Dilemma. It's on all these social media companies. And they had CEOs and founders of these social media companies interviewed. And they're like, my kid has not even had a phone or had access to social media until they were, 13, 14, 15. And they're, advocating. And here they are, some of the founders and CEOs and execs of some of the top social media companies. And they're saying, don't do it.
Yeah. And yeah. So these are, it's so interesting because these are the kids who've had it done to them. And they're like, no, don't do this. And I want to go over to back to that mirror exposure effect. You know how we were talking about, your kids being on screens, Randy and Darren, and you guys were upset about it. It's because when we were watching TV back at the time with having kids, they kept showing parents handing their kids cell phones. So it became something that you thought was normal to do.
Isn't that crazy? I never thought about that.
Yeah.
Programming,
and the other
baby.
One that, for me as a woman, but the mommy, the wine mommy, if you look at all these things with women, they've got the babies and the wine. They're, wine, it's wine o'clock. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
So the wine thing has become really huge with moms. Well, they did that on purpose. So you start looking at it, you're going to see it. The other two things that they talked about were social emotional learning. I know that is a terrible buzzword. That's a terrible word. People don't like it. But I learned it started out as a mental health and anti-bullying program originally brought into schools to help kids learn how to manage their emotions and how to build healthy relationships with others. Subjects like empathy and perspective taking. That's what we just talked about with playing, right?
Yep.
But in 2020, they hijacked it and they perverted it. And now they do SEL, which is social emotional learning, through the lens of race and equity.
Mm-hmm.
And they just completely ruined it. These are good skills for our kids to learn, but they have perverted it. So now in order to have empathy, I have to understand the man who's in my bathroom with me and go at it through his eyes. Do you know what I mean? No, mm-hmm. I don't. Get out of the bathroom. Do you guys know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. So they're teaching kids that you have to actually sit there with the person who makes you uncomfortable and understand why they did what they did to hurt you. That's not how that works. And then I put pornographic materials. Who knew that our schools, the classes and libraries were going to offer pornographic books when I wrote my books? But we need better moral books out there. So I just put those things in there. So that's kind of that's the problem. And now I want to give you guys the solution, if you'd like it, or at least one solution. Do you guys want me to jump into the slides or?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
You flu shot that body, and now you Spikevax that body. You shouldn't get Spikevax if you've had an allergic reaction to Spikevax or its ingredients. Rare cases of inflammation of the heart muscle and outer lining have been reported. The most common side effects are injection site pain, redness and swelling, tiredness, headache, muscle pain, chills.
Actually, we could demonstrate the spike protein in practically all organs.
The vaccines have ravaged the population. The spike protein is proven to cause four major domains of disease.
Spikevax that body with Spikevax by Moderna.
Then you can see also that the nerve cells express the spike protein. And I personally would prefer to use my nerve cells for thinking and not for producing the spike protein.
So the Fossa Tales are my books. I'm going to show you, this is one of them. There are seven total. Four of them are available right now. They are 79 to 80 pages long. So, 79 to 95 pages long. And I said this before, there's a lot of meat in this sandwich.
Okay.
There's a lot of stuff in here. So it's basically what I had said in the beginning. My idea, I want to get kids playing. I want to get them thinking and I want to give a way to divert their attention off of screen. So that is the whole idea behind these. So I'm just going to walk you guys through some of the pages in it because there's a lot to them. And then you guys can ask me any questions as I go. So this is, if I can actually do it, there we go. This is the one of the first page of this story. This is my character Fasa. All of my characters are cats and dogs that my husband and I loved throughout our life, our pets. And who doesn't love animals, you know?
So who doesn't love a furry?
Who doesn't?
You picked a bad time to do animals.
I did. Well, I picked them in 2008.
Oh, but, okay. But at least it's relevant to kids today. They'll understand.
Yeah, they'll relate. They understand.
They'll totally relate. So, well, they can be empathetic to them. So basically, they're animals, and I wanted to just show a couple pages of the book because I spent when I was researching this stuff back in 2008, I went out and looked at kids' books, and there were barely any words on the pages. They were really dumbing down our kids.
They don't want them to read.
No, they don't want them to learn. Yeah. So I really spent a long time. I have illustrations in here, but there's a lot of words on the pages, and I use big words because I want kids to learn. It's okay to ask for help. It's okay to it's good to go to mom and dad and say, how do you pronounce this? What does it mean? There's also a quiz at the end of the book to test the kids on some of the words, but that was purposeful. I want to challenge the kids. Our kids are as smart as we were. We're just not expecting as much from them. You know, so we have to treat them with the respect of what they've got inside of them. So that's the first page. And then for some reason, my mouse is not. Sorry, you guys. Okay, this is the last page of the book. So within the book, I'm going to tell a little bit about this story. We have Fasa, and he has to use his senses to figure out where he is. And he tackles all these obstacles. And at the end, he gets to his happy ending where he meets his curly haired owner.
Oh, there you go.
Huh? Lucky. In every book, there's a lesson, and a lesson that I think everybody should learn. And as I said when I did my wellness thing, I don't think I said this before, but when I was helping people eat healthy and stop smoking and stuff like that, I said to myself, why don't we just grow people up this way? So it doesn't have to be such a huge thing to have to change the behavior. So these are lessons that I think everyone should know. So the lesson in this book is my persistence paid off. So it's teaching kids, if you're persistent, you can get to this happy ending. So the last line in the book is, my persistence has paid off. Fasa thought with a grin, perhaps he would see his friend again. So every single book ends with a cliffhanger. That is so, of course, you want to buy my next book. But also, because I wanted kids to have that. Do you know, remember when, I don't know, we'll say the Cosby Show, but remember when it ended and then you had to wait a week for the next one to come on?
Yep.
Now so you can just binge watch like 19 episodes in 8 hours or something.
It's good to have expectation and to have to wait a little bit for stuff. It's good for you. So I do have those in there. They are to lead to the next one. However, I did want to point out, I wrote all the books so you only have to buy one, and you can buy the one in the middle. It doesn't matter. I just did this because if you buy all seven, it reads like a 7-chapter book. So, but you don't have to. I've had people pick up the second one because there's a cute girl cat in it, and it's fine. I didn't want to get people to have to buy all of them. So I'm having a hard time with my mouse. I'm sorry, you guys. Not sure what's going on. Okay. So after this story, do you see the yarn there? Before the story starts, I have the yarn rolling in and it rolls out. Do you guys remember Mr. Rogers and the train?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's where I was going with that. So after the book, you've got several more pages that we take where my persistence paid off and what Fasa went through in the story. And now we're going to have all these activities. We're going to have physical and mental things to get the kids to further learn about that and to get up and play. So there's plot twists, activities, hidden pictures, coloring pages, a word search and quiz, and then a preview of the second book. So this is one of the plot twists. And again, it was my persistence pays off. So there's two in every book, and I take that lesson and I kind of bring it home with other stuff. So this plot twist is, if at first you don't succeed, try again. And so what is done here is we take what's in the book. So here's what happened in the story. We show it again. And then at the end, we say, as you know, Fasa kept trying until he met his person. So this is what he did. And that's the happy ending he got to. But what if this happened? What if he gave up? And so at the bottom, it said, uh-oh, things have gotten tough. And instead of continuing to try, Fasa gave up. And now he's probably not going to get to that happy ending. So we're teaching choices and consequences here. As you guys know, as adults, it's a good thing to know choices and consequences. And this ends with me just giving a lesson. Sometimes when things are hard, we want to give up. just after a few tries. The good news is that if we keep trying and don't give up, we can be a success. We can succeed. And in each one of these, we have the kids do something cute and little just to get them moving. So this, we have them clap and yell out a cheer. And then we said, great job. Now Foss is not going to give up and he'll meet his person. And so it's, we say, always remember, if at first you don't succeed, try again. And then the second one is mind over matter. And that goes, has the same kind of outline to it. And like I said, every book has two of those. So choices and consequences, very big deal. So then we get into the activities. Again, having a hard time with my mouse. Sorry, you guys. That's not the one I want to be on. Okay. There's five activities in every book. They repeat what the characters did in the book. And then the kids get to experience that and have fun and start playing. So this is the five senses scavenger hunt. As I told you guys, Fossa was using his senses to figure out where he was. So we give a what you need. And I want to point out that these activities are, there's also dozens of them on my site outside the books, and they're for free if people want to go grab them. But this is how they're all outlined. So it says what you need. Simple stuff that you have at your house. I hate shopping, so I didn't want people to have to go shopping. And if you have a babysitter there, they don't have to leave. It's this one, you need paper and a writing utensil. It's got a summary. It says, you know, Vasa used his five senses. Now you're going to go on a scavenger hunt to test your senses. Totally simple directions. We've had kids from 4 to 12 love doing this stuff. You can make, you know, your kids, you can make it as simple or hard as you want. So here they're going to go and find, like, in the example here, it's taste. The thing they found was popcorn, and then they describe it. If it's a little kid, they can draw it. All of the activities have extra challenges. So this one says make another chart and find the opposite of what you found. So if you found something soft, find something hard. And then a second challenge is find somebody who doesn't know you did this and show them your chart and have them guess what it is. So we're just trying to add little things to make the activity keep going. But you guys remember when you were little and we were using our example before, but let's say we're playing kick the can and someone else comes in, we might change it and do something else. You know what I mean? It's imagination, keeping it going. A second activity is, fear not. This is just another example, but Fossa was scared of the cage he was in. So we say, basically, Fossa was afraid. Have you ever been afraid of anything like spiders? Here's a way to tackle your fear. So the kids draw something and make it funny. The extra challenge is to help somebody else who has a fear make it funny and draw a picture. Like if mom is afraid of snakes, get a snake and draw on it and put it where mom won't be scared anymore. And then I think my favorite part, you guys, about all the activities is the things to talk about. We talked about that earlier, but it gives a platform to interact with your kids, critically think. But what did Fossa do to overcome his fears? Is there someone or something you can think about to help you when you're afraid? And then even brave people are scared sometimes. So it gives a talking point for the adult. You know, adults, talk about ways you've conquered your fears and share any advice you have. So you can imagine that could lead to a lot of talking, but not necessarily something you'd think about on your own, because we're all over the place as adults. So that's the activities.
That's a great point, because it could stimulate a child to say, you know, he's being bullied at school or something like that.
Absolutely. And I love that you brought that up, because a lot of the stuff that we tackle in these are things like that. In the second book, the main character was declawed and she was thrown out into the snow. And so we talk about, imagine if you have a disability, you know, something like that. And so it's a jumping off point for talking about something that you normally just wouldn't bring up on your own. So lots of stuff like that. I do want to point out too, I'm going to talk all this lovely characters on the screen here. I do want to point out that these activities were not developed by me, because that's not my thing. I'm more of a creative, but my sister was an elementary school teacher. She is awesome with this stuff. She did a lot of brain research, and she really learned that kids cannot sit still for a long time. So when she'd have her kids getting up every 5 to 10 minutes and moving around. I don't know about you guys, but if I were in school today, I would have been diagnosed with ADHD.
You're speaking to one right next to me.
Yeah. That would be me.
I mean, I almost looked if my chair wouldn't move, because I'm like, woo. But and I was an A student, you guys, but I wouldn't have made it without art. Well, I don't really like art. That's not true. But I'm not good at it. But PE and recess and lunchtime, right? I needed to do stuff, music class. So she developed these activities taking into account all different types of learning. Another example I love to point out, do you guys use Google Maps or something like that?
Oh yeah.
Okay, when you're driving and it's on, what do you look at with the map? Do you look at the picture or?
I listen. I actually listen to the audio. Turn here,
so your
turn there.
audio. Okay.
I actually look at the line that tells me where to go.
Okay, and I need the words. How funny is that? We have three different learners. Isn't that weird?
Wow.
So they're developed for the taking that into account. So there's different activities that will appeal to different kids. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the activities. Just really trying to give. There's ones with stretching. There's thinking. There's moving. It's all sorts of fun stuff. But the idea, like I said, is that 5 seconds of scavenger hunt. You do it a bunch of different ways, and your kids might end up doing that for the rest of the day. That would be awesome, right? And then you come back to this later. That would be the dream. So another feature, we have the hidden pictures. These are Foss's favorite things. And then you go back. You guys remember highlights? You know, when you'd find the little hidden pictures and stuff. That's what this is. So you go back in the book and you find these guys. I've heard that they're very hard, and I'm sorry, but the idea is to challenge children. But there is a answer key. You can't find them.
Oh, teach them to cheat. That's the way to go.
Yeah. Then there's coloring pages. So I pulled some of the pages from the book out and put them in here. I wanted to say at my website, sscoulter.com, these are out there. There's more of them as well. Because if you have two kids, I don't want them to fight over the coloring pages. So these are free out on my site if you want to go download them. And like I said, there's other pages out there as well. The word quiz. I love this. I told you guys I used big words. So what we did here is we took the words and we said where they are on the book. You see the first one, Fossa trembled and wondered, where on earth am I? That's on page two. And we say, tell the kids to go back there because context clues, how much do context clues help people? So that's what we're trying to teach them. Go back and look and see if you can figure it out. And the two answers are so different, they should be able to. But that's the idea behind that, challenging them. And then the word search, it's finding those 10 words from the quiz in this word search. This word search is also on my site. And then there's two others that have these same words, but they're just in different places. So your child could do three different word searches. There's the answer key I promised right there. So just in case you can't find stuff, and if you can't figure out the words, you guys, there's an answer key. So just in case you don't know what the words mean. And then there's, as I said, that's the second book. And so there's a preview of the second book. And then at the end of all the books, if I can do that, I have an always remember. And there I go ahead and I summarize the things that we learned in the book. So I'm just going to read it because it's fun. I'll read to you guys. So at times things can get tough and we can lose our focus or get scared thinking about the bad stuff that's happened to us. Sometimes we just want to quit. But if we can keep focused, keep trying, and keep ourselves from giving up, our hard work can really turn into great things. So remember, persistence pays off. If at first you don't succeed, try again, and mind over matter. And then I found a scripture that went along with it. So here it's from Timothy, 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
That
And
fits Randy and me very well because we talk like every other day of like, man, are we making a difference? Are we helping people? Do we just need to pack up our equipment and put it in
no, you're
storage and
helping.
quit? And then as soon as we talk like that, we'll get an email or a text or a message or a phone call and say, hey, man, that one episode, that really helped me out, or this really helped my family member get them the right supplements or the right whatever. So those are the things that keep us going, is the whole persistence thing. So I
Yeah,
admire that.
persistence pays off. I've had to use it too. Do you guys want, I'm going to stop sharing this now.
Okay.
See your lovely faces again.
So I grew up as an only child, and my mom and dad were school teachers. I couldn't wait till my dad got home. We'd play baseball out in the yard or whatever. But before my dad got home, my screen time consisted of playing Pong. And
Oh
I don't know,
my
you play Pong,
gosh.
Randy? You're probably too
Was it
young, Shannon.
Atari
Atari
Pong?
Pong, and it was in a black and white TV in my mom and dad's bedroom with rabbit ears. And literally, we had gone to a department store and bought Pong. And since I was an only child, I would play with my right hand and left hand. I would play against myself.
Pretty
You know,
good.
that sounded bad, didn't it? I would play against myself. I would compete against myself. Okay. And I mean, always the left hand would lose because I'm right-handed. But that was my idea of screen time as a young boy growing up in rural Midwest America, was playing Atari Pong. But that was screen time back then. But look, today, I was just on a trip with one of my kids this past week, and they threw out another social media platform, Be Real. I'm like, what the heck is Be Real? I've heard of TikTok, and I've heard of, you know, Instagram and Snapchat and all these others. I'm like, what the heck is Be Real? So they were telling me in the 7-hour drive home, oh, Be Real is this platform where, you know, you get a notification at a certain time of the day, and within 2 minutes, you have to post what you're doing at that time.
Oh,
and then
I have heard that.
If you post within that 2-minute time, you get more clout or more importance, and that means you can post more often. So if you're eating a McDonald's cheeseburger, or if you're working out or mowing the yard, you have to take a picture.
If you're driving, that's good.
Oh, yeah.
And what is that? That's complete data collection.
But what it does is it's a two-way camera is what they told me. So you take a picture, if I'm driving the car down the road like this, it takes a picture of me, and it takes a picture out the window. So it knows that what you're posting is actually what you're doing. So I'd never heard of Be Real, but I just don't see any value in it, to be honest with you. But kids are obsessed.
I don't either. Can I show my 7 books real quick? Is that
sure.
okay?
Yeah.
All right. So the first one that we just went through is Where on Earth Am I?
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Alley Cat. Yay.
There's some good looking books. That's for sure. I love the graphics.
Thank you. And then we have Wolf, which that's about my Airedale, Rocky. I don't know if you guys know Airedales. They're super cute. They're kind of stupid. And that's how he is in the books. I do want to say I tried to write a character for every personality. So I just said, okay, he's not stupid. He's simple-minded.
Oh,
bad me. But I tried to write. Oh,
that one's up. There you go.
Hey, look, there we go. I tried to write so that kids could see themselves in these characters, not as furries, but their personalities. Okay. We've got the Extraordinary Scientist, which is a more brainy character. We've got King of the Neighborhood. It's a Great Dane, and he's very, very macho. And then you guys are going to, I know you're going to love this one. It's You Lucky Dog Cat. Now, I wrote this back in 2008. See where I could have really screwed up here?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it's about a cat, or sorry, it's about a dog who thinks she's a cat, but she's set straight.
That's today. I mean, that's perfect today.
Oh, you're hitting the target
right on the
mic. I have to be so careful about it. And my book ends in a rainbow, if you could believe that.
Yeah. And so I don't know how you could be a kid's book author at this point and not step on somebody's.
She's inclusive.
Well, somebody's emotions or, oh my gosh, that's, you know, that's one-sided. But, you know.
Well, yeah.
Through this whole thing that you just went through, you mentioned, you know, we talked about how what they do forms their personality and their beliefs and their perception of life. You talked about them. What was it? Just talk about cigarettes. You know, they make it look like it's so cool to smoke.
Right.
What
right.
if people did what you do with their activities and built in all the stuff that the media is teaching and trying to capture our kids? You teach them the opposite. You know, how cigarettes are gross and you know, just, I mean, it's like we're not fighting back enough.
Well, not only kids. I'm sitting here thinking that she's showing all these exhibits and, you know, the activities and also the book covers. I'm like, man, this sounds off the rails here, but adults could use this too. I'm serious. I mean, go to a church, go to a restaurant. Look how many husband and wife are eating dinner at a restaurant. Look how much they talk to each other. Most of the time they're like, looking like this. And I'm guilty. I spend too much screen time, but I would think that, you know, she has a huge future ahead of her, Randy, and it may not be cartoonish, but I think there could be some things built in for adults too, because people are, they've lost their ability to communicate and to focus and engage in life.
We have, and it's sad. And we can see, I think, and I'm not picking on them, but we can see how people are showing up in life who grew up with this stuff. They're not showing up well right now at all. They're not doing well in work. You know what generation I'm talking about. It's not everyone. Yeah. But they're not doing well, and it's not their fault. This was a mistake, and we got to fix it. Like I said, this is my contribution to fixing it.
Well, it's a big contribution, because if we can get the kids, and my kids are going to think I'm a total hypocrite, but I hate seeing the kids buried with their face on the screen, especially the kids that don't ever go outside.
Well, you have grandkids.
I know. I've got some of them. It's too hot, too cold. You know, I'm too tired. but right. I want to sit and I want to play, you know, mine, whatever it is, Minecraft.
And you trying to compete with that, you can't. So that's why when I was doing research on this, you have to give them something else to do. And then once so if you have these activities, you can say, hey, we're going to do this. And if they like the characters enough, they're going to be like, I want to do what Fossa did. I want to do what Cassie did. You know what I mean? And then I'm giving you activities so you don't have to come up with it because it's too hard when they're constantly asking you for what to do.
You've mentioned twice in the show, kick the can. I guarantee you. My kids would have any idea if I said, hey, you guys want to go out and play kick the can? They'd be looking at me like, what are you talking about?
And it's awesome. Running bases.
Oh, yeah. All I did is I played with my Tonka trucks in the sandbox.
Fine. You know,
I imagined, I built highways and roads with my dozers. And
That's
why you're in construction today.
I guess.
Why you're in construction.
But I'll share this. My mom said when she was a kid, they used to make mud pies in a tinfoil pan, and they put the icing on was chicken poop. I asked her if they ate them and she said no. So
yeah, I played with seaweed and we made it food because I lived on a lake and I got leeches everywhere. But I went back and played again. But
you survived.
That.
It's a miracle.
I survived. Look at me. I'm okay. Yeah, I'm all right. So the other thing, if I could point out real quick with my website, mm-hmm. I mentioned this while we were talking, but I did want to tell people if they want to see what those activities are like, if you go, do you see at the top where it says, so if you are interested in my books, it's sscoulter.com. And if you come out here, it will have links to where to purchase them. It's the easiest place to go. But if you go on the top, there's the coloring pages I talked about, the word searches. But if you click on more activities, and if you scroll down, there's dozens of activities out there that are, like I had said, heart, mind, and body. And if you click on any one of these, this is what they are. But if you click on them, it's just a PDF that pops up, and it's what I showed you that's kind of in the book. Right. And it's all free. It's out there for you to use with your kids. So I just wanted to point that out if you wanted to check them out before you even purchased a book to see what they're kind of about.
So, Shannon, if people go to ssculture.com, I assume all your books are on there right now. I think you said you have, you've written four, is that correct?
I've written seven. Four are available for purchase.
Okay. Are they available as independent purchases or like a bundle of all four different ones? Or how do people do that?
They're independent. Right now, they're just paperback, which I think is the best because you're going to using it as a workbook. But they're independent. I'm coming out with hard copies and probably ebooks, but ebooks is a kind of counterintuitive.
It is. Yeah.
You're turning into a hypocrite, Shannon.
I know.
That's you're doing all this work and then you're reverting.
I know. I don't like that one, but if someone only has $2.99, I want to give it to them for $2.99, right? So, but they can't do a scavenger hunt. They can't do the activities in the thing. But so right now they're just paperback, but I'm working on getting them other ways. And then the 5, 6, and 7 will come out throughout 2024. I just don't know when yet. So,
Shannon, give our viewers an idea, like cost of each one and just a little bit. We like to leave our episodes with one definitive action step from our guests. And I want you to tell our viewers and our audience what one good action step is they could take to try to get the kids back, back in line and engaged with life.
Okay. So the books are $9.99 to $14.99. But as I said, they're 75 to 95 pages. There's a lot of stuff in there. So in order to be able to sell them and like make a dollar, I had to be able to print them and sell them.
Well, that's not much more than a Starbucks coffee. And it's definitely less than a Stanley tumbler filled with wine for a mom. So, that's very affordable.
Yeah. I wanted to make them easy for people to get. So, and then my advice really, if this hasn't knocked something into you, I just want you to think kind of what I said in the beginning. Think about your childhood and what gave you joy. As people our age, think about your childhood and what gave you joy, and that these screens are taking that away from your kids.
And that's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
thievery of life.
I was either doing baseball or riding motorcycles. That was it. And I look back now, I was so much happier then than I am now. I mean,
yeah. Yeah. So, think about that. Think about how you would do anything for your kids. And those screens are taking that away from your kids. And just with that in mind, find tools that will help you distract them from it. And you do need stuff to distract them. You cannot just tell them to get offline. You have to have stuff. My books are one thing, but there's other stuff out there. But but find the tools to help you give kids back the joy of childhood. That's what
I think that's a great tagline.
Yeah.
That's a great tagline to end with. Well, Shannon, one more time on your website.
It's SS Coulter. So it's C-O-U-L-T-E-R, like Ann Coulter. But I'm Shannon Coulter, but sscoulter.com.
Perfect. Well, Shannon, thank you so much for being here with us today on Patriots with Grit. I admire what you're doing. I think this is, kids need this. The society needs this. My wife and I have this conversation all the time about what's the next generation going to look like? I mean, we have kids growing up, we have kids in our 20s now, but when they have kids, we have a huge concern. We always have the conversation of, what's the next generation of doctors, attorneys, teachers? How are they going to be? And, how are they going to, interact with their patients or their students or their clients or whatever? It's a big concern going forward.
Well, I also think about my grandparents or great grandparents probably said the same exact same thing. So I must be just this horrible thing. This new generation.
I think it's way far worse.
No, I think it is too.
But thank you so much, Shannon, for being on here today with us. We appreciate this. Everybody go to SS Coulter, S as in Sam, S as in Shannon, actually. S as in Shannon, S as in Shannon, Coulter, Coulter.com, and help Shannon and support her and her great work that she's doing there. And we want to thank you guys for joining us today on another awesome episode of Patriots with Grit. If you want to help support our show, go over to patriotswithgrit.com and donate. Or you can go to locals.patriotswithgrit.com. That is locals. I kind of slurred that there, Randy. Mm-hmm. Locals.patriotswithgrit.com. And you can support us there also. So anyway, thank you guys. We'll see you guys on the next episode. Take care. Thanks for watching another exciting episode of Patriots with Grit. We want to keep you informed, so if you would, just go over to patriotswithgrit.com and give us your first name and your email so we can keep you up to date. Also, be sure to subscribe, like, and share so we can keep bringing you truth. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.
See ya.